During this time, while we're unable to meet together in one place for fellowship, I'm going to be studying the book of Psalms. And last Sunday, we looked at Psalm 1 in the morning, Psalm 2 in the evening. And those messages are on our website if you'd like to access them at some time. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at Psalm 3. It will help you to have your Bible open in front of you, because I will be looking at some verses in some detail, and it'll help you to follow them in your Bible. So let's turn to Psalm 3 and let us hear the Word of God. This is what God's Word says. A Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. O Lord, how many are my foes! Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for God in him. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Thus reads the Word of God. In the book of Psalms, this is the first time we have the historical context of a particular psalm. Psalms 1 and 2, we don't know exactly when they were written or what was the historical context of the psalms. But Psalm 3 gives us the historical context. It begins a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son, which is what, of course, immediately understand what is going on. David is in trouble. He's in great turmoil. He has been king in Jerusalem, and he has enjoyed the fellowship of his people. He has enjoyed the support and the love and the encouragement of his people. And then this dreadful incident happens where his own son Absalom rebels against him and conducts this coup, and David has to flee overnight. He has to flee during the night, and we read in 2 Samuel 15, barefooted and weeping as he climbs the Mount of Olives and flees east from Jerusalem. So great turmoil has come into David's life. He finds himself in great distress. Now, last week, when I was doing an introduction to the book of Psalms, I was explaining why I think the book of Psalms is so precious to many of us. I think for many of us, it would be our favorite book in the Bible. I think most Christians would say that the book of Psalms is a favorite. And we were looking at why this is, and one of the reasons is because we relate to the Psalms. We may not go through exactly the same trials that David went through. We will never be kings in Jerusalem and cast out by our own children. But he is in distress, and there's great anguish. And we find ourselves in great anguish. The circumstances might differ, but we find ourselves in distress and in anguish. And it's lovely to turn to a psalm and to read what David did, because these things are recorded. You know, the New Testament tells us this. All these things are recorded for our instruction, for our encouragement. And so we can ask ourselves the question this morning, well, what am I to do when I find myself in great distress? And we look at this psalm, and God, in a sense, is saying to us, here is what you should do. David, a man after God's own heart, did certain things. And when you find yourself in turmoil, you find yourself in distress, This is what I would like you to do. Well, we find ourselves in a certain amount of distress during this time when coronavirus has come to our nation. We find ourselves in our homes, and some of us, we're alone in our homes, and perhaps this morning you're alone in your home, or if you're listening to this disc a little bit later, you're perhaps on your own, and your children are unable to visit you, but perhaps your children are unable. This is distress. I'm looking ahead at Easter weekend, and I can't, well, there never has been an Easter weekend when I haven't been with my children. And it is certainly a distress. Easter Monday, well, I'll be in contact, but they won't be here with me. And these things cause us anguish. What are we to do? What did David do when he was in distress? I want to look particularly at verses 3 to 5. Those three verses will form the bulk of my study this morning, because there are three things there that David did. And I want to commend them to you this morning. They're tremendous examples for us in any time of distress. Look at those three things that David did and learn from him. The first thing that David does is he remembers who God is. He remembers who God is. Look at how the psalm is written. Verses 1 and 2, you read his anguish. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. So in verses 1 and 2, you've got David in turmoil. But then the mood changes completely in verse 3. And he, as it were, stops looking at his circumstances and begins to look up at God. Do you remember on Wednesday when we were looking at Revelation chapter 4? We saw something very similar there, didn't we? John has been writing the seven letters to the church. So he's looking at the church and all the difficulties and all the issues and all the tensions that there are in local church life. But then in chapter 4, the Holy Spirit takes him away from his circumstances and says, yes, those circumstances are there, but I want you to look at the throne room of heaven. We want to remove our focus from our circumstances and look up. And David does pretty much the same thing. Verses 1 and 2 is looking at his circumstances, but he doesn't remain there. By all means, take stock of your circumstances. By all means, analyze why it is that distress has come. But don't remain there. If you remain in the analysis of your distresses, you will get depressed. So David looks at his circumstances, but then he lifts his eyes heavenward. And he reminds himself, who is God? He says two things about the Lord in verse 3. He says, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me. So the first thing he remembers is that God protects him. That, of course, is the purpose of the shield. And notice this isn't just a shield that is in front of him. He uses a different phrase, actually quite a unique phrase in the Hebrew. He says, you're a shield around me. There isn't such a shield in normal warfare. But he knows that God is all around, just protecting him from the front. Usually a shield you hold in front of you and it doesn't protect you from arrows on the back. But he says, you're a shield about me. You are my protector. You're the one who watches over me. Now that's a tremendous truth, and it is true of all of God's children. God is our shield, but watches over us. God protects us. God keeps us. There are times when we come under tremendous temptation to really get depressed and to give up on the faith. There are times when we come under tremendous temptation to question the mercies of God and the love of God. But God protects us. God is a shield about us. And then he 3, put on a shield about me, my glory, the lifter of my head. Now, what he means by this, he is saying to the Lord, you are the one who appointed me king. You see, David wasn't looking to be king when he was a shepherd boy. And Saul, the first king of Israel, had rebelled against God. And Samuel had been sent to look for him. David wasn't looking for the throne. He wasn't scheming. He wasn't devising ways to get on the throne. He was quite happy to be a shepherd. And who chose him? God who identified him. And God who put him on the throne. So David back on that said, David says to the Lord, well, my son has dethroned me. But you place on the throne. And so I'm coming back to you and I'm saying, you're the one who, you're my glory. You're the one who lifted me. And I trust you to take me back. And it's a wonderful reminder that we today are the children of God because God took the initiative. God brought us into his kingdom. God sent his son into this world. And Christ died for us. While we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. And God sent the Holy Spirit to call us out of darkness into his light. We are his children. We are in his kingdom because he called us. And that's a wonderful reminder because it tells us that God has called us and God therefore will protect us and care for us. And God will keep us. We didn't wheedle our way into the kingdom. God has brought us in. And God has brought us in for a purpose that we should enjoy heaven in his presence. You find yourself under temptation, under distress. Remember, God is a shield about you. And God is the one who has called you into his kingdom. And God will keep you. So the first thing David does when he is in distress, he remembers who God is. And then the second thing that he does, of course, is that he prays to his God. He prays to his God. Verse 4. I cried aloud to the Lord. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. David's reaction to this crisis has been the reaction of a wise man. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 15 that he took certain measures. He sent certain men back to Jerusalem. And he fled with certain men. So he used wisdom here. Okay, we're in a crisis and we've got to use our minds. How do we handle this crisis? But he is not depending on all his resources. He knows that this is how God's people behave when there's a crisis. They use their wisdom. They use their intelligence. But ultimately, their faith is in God. And this is a statement which relates passion in prayer. He doesn't. I cried aloud to the Lord. There was passion in his prayer. He opened his heart to God. He poured out his heart to God. He sought the Lord with tremendous passion and tremendous feeling in his prayer. And it is that kind of prayer that honors God. When we come to God and we open our hearts to him and we cry out to him and we say, there's a crisis here, there's a difficulty. I find myself in turmoil. Will you come to my aid? It honors God when we do that because it shows that we trust him. I wonder what you're going to do during this time of forced isolation during the coronavirus crisis. Well, many of us, we're in our home. Well, all of us, we're in our homes most of the day. And certainly we can find things to do and we must do that. But can I suggest this? Wouldn't it be a good idea to use this time to learn how to pray? Perhaps to examine our prayer life. To go back to our prayer habits. Perhaps you've been a Christian for many years and you've got into a certain routine of prayer. And that's good. We all do that and that's a good thing to do. To be disciplined in our prayer life, to have times during the day when we pray and we pray for certain things in a certain way. But in this time of enforced break, I wonder if it's a good idea for us to look at that again and to refresh our prayer life. Do you remember the disciples coming to Jesus? Lord, teach us to pray as John taught disciples to pray. Wouldn't it be a good idea to come to the Lord and to say, Lord, during this time of enforced isolation, will you teach me to pray? Will you help me to pray? Will you help me to be passionate in my praying? Will you help me, Lord, to open my heart in praying? Will you, Lord, help me to pray in a biblical way? Wouldn't it be good to, I mean, our prayer matters. Pray for others in the church. Pray particularly for those who are alone while they're isolated. Pray for the worldwide Church of God. Perhaps God will use this global virus for the building up of his kingdom. And perhaps we will hear of the church being revived in our own nation, in nations where the church has been in decline for many years. We must pray for this, that God will send a revival and God will use this time of a crisis in our nation. But let's not be wanting in prayer. Friends, let's make sure we pray. We have these electronic means. You can download Zoom free and it will give you 40 minutes, I think it is, to have a time of prayer with somebody in the church. Well, why not use that time? And why not bring matters to God in prayer? David is in a crisis, but he doesn't wallow in depression. He looks up to God. He reminds himself of who God is, and he comes to prayer. So firstly, then, David reminds himself of who God is. Secondly, David comes to God in prayer. And then thirdly, David's response in this crisis in verse 5. David trusts in the Lord. David trusts in the Lord. Have you ever had this experience? You've read a passage in the Bible many times, but then you come to study it, and when you come to study it, a verse leaps out at you, and you suddenly think, do you know, I don't think I've ever thought about this, but this really is a most tremendous verse. That happened to me with verse 5. I was studying this psalm, and the first statement in verse 5 absolutely leapt out at me. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. Now think about David's situation. He's on the run from Absalom. His own son, a large number, sorry about this, my phone's ringing. A large number in Israel have turned against him. When we read 2 Samuel 15, he was told, the people have turned against you. He has every reason to be worried. And yet he says, this is obviously a psalm that he wrote perhaps a few weeks, perhaps a few months after the event when he was restored king in Israel. It's obviously written about that one particular night when he was on the run from Absalom. And he writes in this psalm, he says, I lay down and I slept through the night. And I woke up again in the morning, safe and well, because the Lord sustained me. There are two lessons that David had learned that we need to learn in our Christian lives. Two lessons from verse 5. And I want to bring them to you this morning. The first lesson, we need to learn that when God forgives, God forgets. When God forgives, God forgets. Why do I say that? This incident with Absalom is linked to David's sin with Bathsheba. There's a clear link when you read about the incident with Bathsheba. And what God said to David after that incident, it is very obvious that Absalom's rebellion is linked to David's sin with Bathsheba. But isn't it interesting that David doesn't go back to that incident, he doesn't recall it to his mind and beat himself up over it again? Do you notice that? He doesn't do that. He doesn't go back to that incident and say, well, it's all because I sinned with Bathsheba and I killed Uriah the Hittite, and that's why my son has rebelled against. It's all my fault. I'm terrible. Because we know when Nathan went to David, David repented. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has forgiven you. And so the sin is dealt with. It is gone. It is buried in the depth of the ocean. David has learned the skill of forgiving himself. He has learned the skill not to dredge up his old sins, which God has forgiven, and to beat himself up over it. He's learned that. He sleeps a night of peaceful sleep, even though this incident is related to the sin of Bathsheba. He doesn't bring it up again, and he doesn't mull over it, and he doesn't allow it to eat him up. He just says, it's gone, and he sleeps a night. The second lesson that David has learned is that when you cast your cares upon the Lord, you leave them there. When you cast your cares upon the Lord, you leave them there. Now, if you're anything like me, what do you do when you go to bed at night? You cast your cares upon the Lord. And then in the middle of the night, you wake up and you take them all back and you fret over them. And you worry about them, and you pace up and down, and you're anxious about them, and you're planning how you're going to deal with them, and you don't sleep. Do you ever do that? I do that. Because I haven't learned the skill of casting my cares upon the Lord and leaving them there. And David has, you see. David is in greater turmoil than I'll ever be. I mean, David's son has rebelled against him. David has had to flee barefooted from Jerusalem. And his life is in danger. His son isn't content with the throne. His son wants to kill him. You read the Absalom rebellion. And there's no question, Absalom was going to kill David. His life is in danger. And his people have turned against him. And David has every reason, humanly speaking, to wake up in the middle of the night and to start fretting over his situation, to start worrying over his situation, to start thinking about Absalom. What is Absalom planning? Now let me try and get into Absalom's mind. What sort of things will he, how will he place his soldiers? And when will his soldiers come and attack me? And what tactics will they use? And David doesn't do that. He doesn't fret about it. And David doesn't wake up in the middle of the night and is pacing up and down, worrying about this, worrying about that, remembering his sin with Bathsheba. He sleeps the night like a baby because he has learned the skill. You cast your cares upon the Lord and you leave them there and you trust the Lord to deal with them. Has learned this skill. Acts chapter 12, Peter is arrested. And Herod is going to put him to death. And the Bible tells us that the Lord sent his angel to rescue Peter. And you read in Acts chapter 12, when the angel goes into the prison to rescue Peter, it says he struck Peter to wake him up. Peter is sound asleep. And the angel has to shake him to wake him up. I've come to rescue you. Peter isn't fretting. Peter isn't worrying. Oh, Herod's going to kill me. What's going to happen to the church? I'm one of the apostles, and Christ has told me to feed his sheep, and I'm about to be killed. Peter isn't worried. He isn't pacing up and down the prison cell. He's fast asleep. And the angel has to strike him to wake him up. He has learned the skill. When you cast your cares upon the Lord, you leave them there. Paul and Silas have learned that skill. They're in that Philippian prison. And in the middle of the night, they're not fretting, they're not worrying, they're not scheming, they're not devising. They're singing songs to God and praying. Because they've cast their cares upon the Lord, and they can now rejoice in the knowledge that God is sovereign and God will watch over them. So David is in distress, and David does three things, and those three things are recorded for our example. David remembers who God is. He brings to mind God. He doesn't keep looking at his situation. He looks up and he remembers who God is. David prays and David casts his care upon the Lord and leaves them there. He learns to trust the Lord. Well, may God help us to learn these lessons, to obey them, to live by them, and thereby to bring glory to Him.